Off with Steve Huthersall.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
Okay, let's catch up with Tony Scott from the Liverpool Echo ahead of a big weekend of footy. Morning, Tony.
Good morning, Steve.
Just start with the Grand National in Aintree. You did all right, didn't you?
Yeah. There's people listening, including the missus. it was had an after someone, so to speak.
Oh, I saw you and the boys on Friday. Some of the gallant lads, Greg O'Keefe, James Pearce, sporting minds all collated,
of course,
on Aintree Racecourse. What an event it was.
Fantastic.
Amazing. How many did you go for? Full 3 days?
Full 3 days. I don't think I can do 3 days no more, Steve. I've done it for the past 10, 12 years, full 3 days, and it takes its toll. What you're flagging. After the National, I just found a little barrier at the back there and had 20 minutes to myself and had a little sleep in the sunshine and burnt me fod, as you can see. But it's just hectic. It's a fantastic festival, isn't it? And for anyone who's got a bad word to say about this race, the race course and the festival itself, clearly hasn't been. The atmosphere is fantastic. Everyone's enjoying themselves. People from all walks of life celebrating a sporting event that we're proud to host. It's a fantastic event.
The city's greatest event.
Oh, yeah, by far. Yeah. 600 million people watch this event worldwide from all time zones, from all walks of life. All eyes are on this city, and we host one of the biggest sporting events on the planet. And cities all over the world give the right arm to host this event, and we're very lucky.
That's the last word on the Aintree Grand National. It was superb. A lot of people have spent all week recovering from it. Right, footy takes centre stage now. Let's talk Sam Allardyce, and let's talk about this survey. Did you receive a questionnaire, Tony?
I didn't.
No. If you had received a questionnaire, how would you have rated Big Sam in his season?
As he said, 11.
That's what he said yesterday, he did, wasn't
say,
it?
There was two words that went before that I'm not allowed to say on air. But I think it went on social media this week. I interviewed a West Ham supporter before the Everton-West Ham United game back in November when Sam Allardyce was announced as Everton manager. And he hit the nail on the head. He said, listen, this football's not great to watch. It's quite bland, and I think Everton are better than Sam Allardyce. And it turns out every word that he said was spot on. I think Everton were in a situation where, looking back on it now, I said it from day one, and a lot of people disagreed with me at the time. I said they hit the panic button far too early with Ronald Koeman. Nine matches in October, panic button hit. Way too early, in my opinion.
At the time, they were 5 points clear of the relegation.
Yeah, they were
zone
in 13th
well,
place.
Yeah.
Now, where are we? We were looking at it this week, and Newcastle can go above Everton this weekend. Everton could easily end up 11th, 12th this season. So there's no difference. When I look at it as personnel on the pitch, is that also Sam Allardyce has done, has had the fortune of Seamus Coleman, Leighton Baines being brought back into the team. Ronald Koeman didn't have that pleasure. So that's all I'm looking at. Is the results have improved because better players have come back into the fray. Everton had no Bolasie, no Coleman, no Baines under Ronald Koeman. So, and now they've got them back in the picture. Results have picked up a bit. Haven't beaten a top team. I think the best team Everton have beaten this season under Sam Allardyce, ironically, is Newcastle.
What's the best performance they've had under Sam?
There hasn't been one.
There's been no standout.
Standout game that could go, wow, brilliant, cracking performance. I can't think of one at the top of my head.
Because he's quite keen to talk about the points, isn't he, and the home form. But actually,
but he doesn't want to talk about the away form.
But he doesn't want to talk about the performances, does he?
No.
And is that not fundamental as well to an Evertonian?
It is. Now, there's two arguments to this. I could easily say Jose Mourinho, Jurgen Klopp, Mauricio Pochettino. What do you want to do? Do you want to see an expansive team playing great football, like Tottenham, like Liverpool, but don't win anything? Or do you want to see Jose Mourinho team that's not great to watch, but will probably win a trophy this season, like he won two last season? And that's what Jose Mourinho does. Whereas in the likes of Jurgen Klopp and Mauricio Pochettino, they haven't got any trophies on the CV in this country. So I'm looking at it and thinking, it's a bit of a catch-22. If Everton are going to be mid-table, they're going to have to play... You want to see some good performances at least. You've got eye-catching, having a go at teams, in your face, the intensity there. But there's neither. So if you're not getting results and you're not getting performances, all eyes are going to be on the manager. And that's what Everton fans are looking at. Go, hang on, why aren't you going at these teams? To pick up a point against a top six team isn't a bonus for Everton fans. They wouldn't have a go, and that's not happened.
Not good enough. Right, so that survey's out of the way now. But the other thing he sort of alluded to yesterday was putting it out there, making it known that he would like some sort of indication of Farhad Moshiri. Not directly, because actually, as he says, Farhad's a busy man.
He's a very
and
busy
running
man.
Running a billion-pound business, so he doesn't have a direct phone line to Sam. That was my inference of what he said there. But he would like some sort of clarification as to his future. So clearly he's not been told this is what's happening with you.
Behind the scenes, I think he has been told.
Right.
Yeah, I think he has been told. And it wouldn't surprise me. That's just my opinion on it. There's no inside information on it at all. I just feel as if he has been told in a way that, listen, we'll sort your package out at the end of the season. Everton, I think last night's result meant mathematically Everton were safe because Southampton drew 0-0, didn't they, with Leicester? So Everton, mathematically safe. I just feel as if it's getting a little bit toxic now with Everton supporters. And towards the end of the season, Everton have got two games now, Newcastle and Huddersfield coming up. And I just feel as one defeat in either of them and it could get more toxic. And it's sort of to come into the ways where at the end of Roberto Martinez's reign as well, where you sort of feared for the manager's safety in the dugout because it gets the hostile, especially at Goodison Park as well.
Wasn't it?
Oh, it was terrible towards the end and you're going, wow, this is
almost
this
a bit like
naughty.
The end of Tim Howard's reign in goal.
Yeah,
well.
Oh, yeah, well, you see that, and I'm thinking, I've got any sympathy for Roberto Martinez? No, because he got the sack and he got 10 million in his bank balance in one lump sum the week later. So that's the way football.
All right, well, the toxic game on Monday night then is Everton against Newcastle.
It is, Steve. It's Monday night football. Everton 11-8 to win this one, Newcastle 5-2. And just a couple of stats that jumped out at me early on this morning. There's no love lost between these two teams. There's been 16 yellow cards and 3 red cards in the last 4 matches, believe it or not. So that just tells me that in this match, obviously, there's going to be a big media attention on towards Sam Allardyce because he used to manage Newcastle as well. Everton fans are on the flavour of the month with him. Obviously, it's on Sky as well. And I just feel as if it could get a little bit overheated and nasty. So 3 red cards and 16 yellows in the last 4 matches. I wouldn't put anyone off the bookings. Bob Madley's in charge as well. On the pitch, Everton have won 7 of the last 8 against Newcastle United. They love playing them. Wayne Rooney has scored 15 Premier League goals against Newcastle United. That's more than any other opponents he's faced. He's 11-4 to score any time. Now, Newcastle have got the chance to finish above Everton in the Premier League this season. What odds would you have got on that at the start of the campaign? When Ronald Koeman spent 200-odd million, Rafa Benitez had just brought Newcastle into the Premier League, what odds would you got on Newcastle finishing above Everton? You
would have take your hat off to Rafa Benitez.
Oh, he's done brilliant. He's
phenomenal. I mean, Big Sam was asked about him yesterday, and again, I don't think there's any love lost between the two of them. He said what he's managed with the funds he has, particularly in January, has been excellent. Almost narrowing it down without sort of going, yeah, he's had a great season as a whole. But actually what he's done,
he's probably
with a squad of championship players is unbelievable. And I think if you put a Rafa in charge of those Everton players, I think you're talking 7th place, minimum.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Sam Allardyce must look at what Rafa Benitez has done at Newcastle and be envious and jealous of what he's done.
Yeah.
Because Sam Allardyce couldn't get that Newcastle squad anywhere near above where Everton are at the moment. So that'll take me hats off to Rafa Benitez. He's had a fantastic season. Newcastle only 1 defeat in 9, and that was against Liverpool as well. So Newcastle absolutely flying at the moment. Won their last 4 in the Premier League and joined top of the form table. So this is the team Everton do not want to be facing for the manager under severe pressure on the television. But the bet for me in this one, Steve, is a penalty award. Now, just off air, I just explained to you, didn't I, Steve? Everton have conceded 13 penalties this season. 13 penalties, that's the highest in the Premier League by a long way. They've also been awarded 8 penalties in the Premier League this season. That's joint highest. So when you look at that, there's been 21 penalties in Everton's 34 matches this season.
No team could have higher stats.
No way. So if you look at anything, this has happened 2/3 of Everton's games this season. Well worth a bet.
Those are phenomenal stats.
Unbelievable.
Liverpool never get a penalty. awarded 8 pens. This
8 penalties. Conceded 13.
Yeah. That says something defensively about Everton as well.
There's panic stations at the back. And who would have thought that? That's what Sam Allardyce harps on about the most. We've got to get back to basics at the back, etc., etc. But obviously there's panic stations and they're conceding a lot of penalties.
Great shout, Tony. The other one, the cards one you mentioned there, that's a great shout.
Yes.
There's no love lost between these sides.
I just feel as if Everton and Newcastle supporters, there's just something in the air that they just don't like each other. I don't know. It's just like, I think Everton always in my opinion, Everton are a bigger club than Newcastle. Newcastle fans may argue that they're a bigger club than Everton. I get there's arguments for and against. Newcastle are one team city. Everton obviously share a city, probably arguably the biggest club in Europe. So I'd like to think that if there was one team in this city and it weren't doing so well, say Liverpool and Everton join forces, you could easily get 80, 90,000 every week. No danger. So that's my argument why Everton are a bigger club than Newcastle.
Evertonians will probably be applauding Rafa more than Sam at the weekend. Let's have a look at Liverpool. It's a 12:30 against West Brom, who've just come off the back of beating Manchester United.
They have. West Bromwich Albion, a 6-1 to win this one, Steve. Liverpool, 1-2. Don't forget, it's an early morning kickoff tomorrow. Early morning, Liverpool unbeaten in the last 9 against West Bromwich Albion. And I did say in the Premier League, because West Bromwich Albion went to Anfield this season and beat them 3-2. We know that. Now, Liverpool have lost 2 of their last 3 Premier League matches against sides starting the day in bottom of the table. That's including Swansea this season. So Liverpool don't like to play teams that are bottom of the table.
A little bit of a vulnerability still exists against the lower sides.
Complacency a little. We've seen against Swansea this season in January.
Tuesday night on the horizon as well. Will their eye be on the ball?
Well, don't forget, West Brom have got to have a goal. This is their last chance to win it. Very, very unlikely they'll stay up, but they're going to have a goal. They've beat Manchester United. Confidence will be high. And I feel there'll be a lot of goals in this. I know you wouldn't expect that with West Bromwich Albion, but the Baggies have scored in each of their last 7 home league matches, so I wouldn't put anyone off the both teams to score bet at 4-5. Now, this is a West Bromwich Albion team, Steve, considering where they are in the league, that have taken points off Tottenham, Arsenal, Liverpool, Everton and Manchester United this season. So quite a lot of the top clubs in the top.
You're thinking upset, aren't you? You're thinking a draw.
I'm just thinking West Brom at 6-1 is too big. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I said that's value in itself. I think there'll be a lot of goals in it, Steve. I know you won't associate that with West Bromwich Albion, but considering they've scored in the last 7 home matches and the teams they've taken points off, theirs has just named Tottenham, Arsenal, Liverpool, Everton, Manchester United this season, I think there's something in it. Now, don't forget, we all know Salah is one goal away from equaling Luis Suarez's 31 goal season record. He's going to be odds on. He's going to be like 4-6. He's going to be no value whatsoever. But as I just mentioned, goals in this one for me. I fancy both teams to score and Liverpool to edge it at 5-2. And I wouldn't put anyone off both teams to score in the first half at 4-1.
The kickoff.
Rock, sport, and talk.
Radio City Talk.